Hi, everyone. This is Kathleen Francis, your host for Wise Women. And today we're going to kind of continue the conversation that we had in our last show. And I'm going to do that with a wonderful artist by the name of Jana Davis. And she has an interesting story to tell, both on the side of health and certain things that happen when perhaps we don't have a say in the matter, and how that developed into her body of work that is very interesting and very much in line with what our show is all about. And so her work is graceful and organic, and she does things in a very organic way, which is always what we try to do here. And she works from, again, a soul perspective. And so with that, I'd like to introduce you to artist Jana Davis. Jana, welcome to Wise Women.
Kathleen, thank you so very much for that lovely introduction. It is an honor to be here with you today.
Thank you. I love our soul too. So just for your information, my last show, what I talked about was the very critically important aspect that I feel is necessary for all of us, is to have a self-expression, an expression from the soul, so to speak, as we had had conversations about, and encouraging people not to judge their talents or their abilities or that self-expression. I said in my previous show, I don't care if you make a stick person, just, you know, especially with art, there is not, it's subjective. Everything is subjective. And even if you never sell a piece of your artwork, put it on the wall.
Absolutely.
So that, I just wanted to create that kind of context for you in our conversation. So with that, I'll bet you have something to say about that.
Absolutely. Well, yes. And the word vulnerable comes to mind. And I've learned in my life that being vulnerable is a very strong and beautiful thing to be. It's scary and it can be very frightening at times, but once we step into that vulnerability, it's so lovely, and great strength does come from that.
What a great point to make, Jana. I actually did not bring that aspect into last week's show, but that is so true, because I don't think we can create from anything other than vulnerability.
Correct. That's right. And for some reason, for us humans, it can be kind of like, I call it walking barefoot in the desert, a little prickly at times and a little scary. But once we do it and we step into that vulnerability, and it not only helps us, but it helps other people feel comfortable. And it's such a beautiful thing to be able to have that piece of your life and to be able to overcome that fear of vulnerability. You mentioned something about me and my childhood and a struggle that
I did. Yes, if you would be kind enough, please give us the story, which was rather shocking and, quite frankly, like St. Thomas Aquinas, I got angry about this. It was worthy of being righteously angry when I heard what happened to you. Would you kindly share that with our audience?
Absolutely. And yes, anger, there was lots of that there. And it's in the end, you will see it's turned out to be a beautiful gift. At the age of 7, I was told that I had my mouth was too small for my big permanent teeth to come in. So I was told by a family dentist that I needed to have all my baby teeth extracted at one time. And it was a terrifying experience for me. It was back in the day, this was the 70s. So it was back in the day when they really didn't explain to the child what was going on. They kind of just put you through the process. They could not get me to go to sleep with the first dose of anesthesia. So they gave me a second dose. And pretty much what happened was my little body got poisoned from this anesthesia and the trauma. It's, looking back on it now, my parents didn't know any better. And it's people always say, well, it's just, aren't you just still so angry? And, I'm not angry. I've learned so many incredible things about empathy and strength and intuition and determination and wisdom. And it's really helped me. But in my life, my parents took me from doctor to doctor because right after, about a month after this operation, all of my hair started coming out over my entire body. And at the age of 7, it was very frightening. And doctors just didn't know what to do with me. They didn't know how to, they just didn't know what to say. And we went to many, many doctors. And finally, we came across a doctor that said, she has alopecia universalis. And pretty much that was just the symptom of this operation. That's what, my body reacted in that way. And I remember him saying very clearly to my mom in front of me that my hair would never come back.
Wow.
Yes. And at that little age, though, my little body turned to him, and I'll never forget this. And this is what started my journey, healing naturally and my art. He said, your daughter's hair is never going to come back. And I said to him, oh, yes, it will. At the age of 7. Oh, yes, it will.
Watch your heart.
Watch me do it. So that's kind of the background story of where this journey on this life of health in the natural way. And, like I said, including my art for healing has transformed my life. And I wouldn't change a thing. As hard as it was, I would not change one thing.
Well, I think that's a very inspired perspective, that you can take such adversity and turn it into something that empowers you, which is what I think we all strive towards doing.
Yes.
But nonetheless, there is that aspect of protective energy, I would say. Mm-hmm. And my thought was, I wonder how many other children that this dentist, probably for financial gain, created the same terrible aspects of destruction to the lives of others. And what really does anger me, I suppose, because I think about this in today's times, is the devastating aspects of what occurs now in the medical field in general with, even 6-month-old babies, that they have no choice in the matter and yet now must long-term for the rest of their lives suffer the consequences of an adverse action on a medical and permanent situation. Mm-hmm. Whether we're talking about injections that children have no choice in the matter, or this insanity with the gender choices and operations that some, I'm understanding, even some, in some cases, parents are not even informed about. I mean, this has gotten so out of hand and very much in line with what occurred to you as a child. So, you had the soul strength to be able to say to your doctor that, yes, I will, and yes, I can. But I don't think everyone might have that same kind of steel in their own internal character and soul. So tell me, when this happened to you, and what were the things that you had to overcome as a result of this adverse, what would we call, assault on your own little body? I mean, yes, when I think about that.
Well, it, it didn't, yes, I was strong, but I did not go unscathed. my parents, that when the last little piece of hair came out of my head, they tied a bandana on my head and off I went to school. And that was hard. I was blessed with amazing amazing friends who came alongside me and loved me through all of this. But there's also the bullies, and that was hard. That was a very, very painful piece of this for me that I had to go to get lots of help in my life with therapy. And I'm glad to say that I have been able to get past that hurt. It's always will be, you know, in a little piece of it in there, but it's definitely made me a stronger human. And that's where the empathy piece came in for me, as far as differences in people. You know, everybody has their own thing going on in life. And this is that empathy piece as a child, I learned at a very young age, and that was lovely. And I passed it along to my children, because my children, this is an ongoing life thing for me. I've lost my hair 3 times over the course of my life, just because my autoimmune system, I have to be very careful with certain things. But my children, that was a really important thing I wanted them to learn, was that empathy piece, and them seeing their mama going through that, they understood and realized, wow, there's more to life than just your hair. And it's really cute. It was really cute. And the wisdom piece too. I love that, the wisdom piece, because that's what I've always told them as well, is that if you can be anything, be wise. Because there's so much beauty in that. So I had to overcome the going to school with no hair. Adults didn't understand, nor did kids. A lot of people thought that I had cancer, and that was a hard, you know, it was hard because I was still here. I wasn't dying of something, but I had this physical barrier, I guess you could say, with people, that they always kind of felt sorry for me, thinking that, oh, look at that little girl has cancer. And so many people that I know have gone through and had cancer, and it's such a scary and frightening thing. I didn't have cancer. And so that was a really, but at the same time, I wanted to have people understand me, you know, and that was a little bit of a difficult thing that I had to overcome. But that's where my art came in. And that's where I was a tennis player as a child, and I went out there and just hit that tennis ball hard. And that helped me too, to get that out, the stress. And I cried a lot. And I always would tell my children too, yeah, it's important to cry. It's a beautiful release. And there was a reason why we were given tears. So that's, I guess, the major struggles. And then the doctor situation, I had to, when I got a little bit older, I started doing my own research, because I knew that if all these doctors that I had gone to see with my parents couldn't help me, I needed to help myself, and I needed to find out who could help me in the medical world. And that's when I found a natural doctor in San Francisco. And I remember going to my mother asking, Mom, can we please send me here. I want to go here to this doctor. And she was an amazing woman she's no longer living. She was elderly at the time, but she taught me about my diet, my immune system, how my body worked. It was just what I needed at that young age to start me off, to know how to get my hair back and get my body. It wasn't just my hair. It was my liver, and my whole little body was a mess. So she really got me on the just most beautiful track. And then the art.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the art, which is amazing. My family has a creative background, and my dad was an artist and a home designer, and my mom an interior designer, and all my siblings are very creative. And I truly believe that my art in my life, being surrounded by it, appreciating it, going out into the desert and really seeing what's out there and smelling what's out there. And that all is a part of my healing as well.
So you had parents that were basically very creative, and your artistic kind of talent that came forward was definitely part of your genes. But tell me how your art began to emerge from your rather challenging conditions.
Yes. So I think it started when my children were in elementary school and I was asked to teach masterpiece art. And it's where we would bring works of art from very famous artists all over the world. And we would teach the children about the artist. And then we would do a project on that art. And I remember there was one little boy who was sitting there and it reminded me of a story I'll share with you in a moment, but it reminded me of the lemons. And so I sat and I'll explain, but he sat and he just kind of almost had his arms folded and was kind of a little defiant and I'm not going to do this. And so I came alongside him and I said, are you scared to draw for me or to draw for yourself? And he said, yes, I don't like art. And I said, well, why don't you like art? And he really couldn't answer. And I said, well, why don't you just try putting your fingers in the paint and then kind of swishing it on the paper and see how you feel. And I walked away from him. And by the end of that class, he had created the most beautiful from the soul piece of art. And he asked me, Miss Davis, when will you be back to do this again? And so right there, I knew that was where I wanted to take my art. And I wanted to help others bring out that, I guess, vulnerability from within. And when I said about the lemon story, so the lemon story is this. When I was probably about 3 months after the operation, I went to an art class by a very well-known artist in Arizona. And I was the youngest out of all the students there. And he had a bowl of beautiful lemons in the middle of this table. And he said, okay, today class, we are going to sketch these lemons. And I remember just sitting there frozen like this little boy that I mentioned in this masterpiece art class. And I sat there and looked down at the pencil and looked at the paper, looked at the lemons, looked at him. And he finally came over and put his hand on my shoulder and he said, honey, are you okay? And I said, yes, I'm okay, but I can't draw those lemons the way they look. What if it's wrong? And he said, there is no wrong. You will interpret those lemons as you see those lemons. As an artist, you will draw those lemons how you feel. And that has stuck with me. And I share the story of the lemons all the time because that's what got me to this intuitive art space and helping other people get over the
fear.
That's
a beautiful story.
It's just a favorite of mine. It's just, it is really, and he was so generous. And I love that about him. He could have said, just get to work and pick up your pencil, but he didn't. He was so patient with me. And, I was going through a hard time. I didn't feel fantastic after my operation. And so I was in a very vulnerable place for that reason. But yeah, that was an amazing experience that I had that I'll never, ever forget.
And isn't it wonderful that what you have is that benchmark of a memory that so much has influenced the direction even of your art and the direction of your own perception about art itself, which was one of the points that I made last week.
Yes.
About self-expression and creativity. Because, and it's perfect. You took lemons and turned it into lemonade, right?
Yes, exactly. I was hoping you'd say that.
No, you probably heard that before. But I think that this is one of the most important aspects for anyone to hear, because I think in truth, a lot of people wish that they could. I've had so many people come and see what I do and do my artwork, and you do it so easily. Oh, I wish I could do that. And I always say, you can.
Absolutely. You can. Absolutely. They can. And it's traveling from, people say, well, what are we going to be doing when we get together and do intuitive art? What will I be creating? And I said, well, that's up to you. That's going to come from your, I show up with the supplies and abundance of supplies. We have the outside to go forage. And I say, here it is. And now I'm there to guide you. But this is coming from inside of you, out through your heart and soul, out through your hand, onto whatever it is you're creating. And it's scary at first for a lot of people. I have a lot of stories of people that I taught in a beautiful, went to Sedona in your neck of the woods. A gateless writing women's retreat was being held by and crafted by a dear friend, Jackie Donahue, who's a visionaire and just a beautiful human. And she asked me to bring intuitive art to her, to this workshop. And I loved it so much. And I call them the little boys of the little boy, like I had in the masterpiece art class. It's a little boy, but this was a grown woman who sat there and was frightened. And I said, it's okay. And you can sit there as long as you need to sit there. And by the end, she did not want to leave. She had me go outside and forage for more items and she said, I need a stick. I need this. And I loved it so much. And just the joy in her that came out of that. I had another time when I was teaching a class a little bit smaller, and I had this couple that came in, and he definitely did not want to be there. I can tell his girlfriend probably just drugged him and said, we're going to this thing, And I got to know him a little bit, and he did the same thing. I told the little boy syndrome, where he sat there, and he sat and sat and sat. And finally, I said, well, what is it? I said, do you have anything coming up exciting in your life? He said, well, I'm studying for my medical. I'm studying to be a doctor. And he said, and I'm very stressed right now. And I said, well, this might help you. He started. Yes, he started. And he, same thing. At the end, he absolutely did not want to leave. He said this was amazing. He was going to tell all his buddies that this helped him release whatever that was that he was going through for these exams. And he actually contacted me after and said that he passed with flying colors, and he truly believed that this calm that he had before, this whatever side of the brain he was releasing this was has helped him so much. And I just was so grateful, because that's what I want to see. I want people to share those stories with me, that this is that I've helped them in some way, help themselves be able to have this thing they can tap into really at any time. As you know, as an artist, Kathleen, you feel that urge, you can just go there, right?
And when I am stressed out, I know that what will calm me is if I start painting anything. I'll pick up a pair of jeans or anything, a t-shirt, and start, creating something on it, just to focus my attention on something that takes me away from whatever is stressing me out in the first place. But, this brings to mind another aspect of, the creative flow and what can happen. And as you can see, teaching young people especially is something that we all know, as has been evidenced in your own life, that we can have a tremendous impact on that child for the rest of their life, just as the teacher that you had the impact on you. Now, I teach acting, and I love teaching children. And to be in line with what you were sharing is that I was teaching, there were two little boys, one was seven, one was nine, very very shy, and in my classes with kids, because you know kids can really feel uncomfortable and they'll start to cry if they feel they're being put on the spot. So I always told my students, if you don't want to get up, if I call on you and you don't want to get up and read this, monologue or this poem or commercial, whatever I would do to have them get up to express themselves, you can say pass. And James, one little boy who he was in my class literally for months, he would say pass, pass, pass. And then he got up once and it was so difficult for him. He started to cry. And I said, sweetie, just understand something. In acting in particular, the most powerful thing that you have are your emotions. And when they're available, now I want you to notice something because you're in an emotional state. Do you notice how quiet the whole class is? They're very focused on you right now. They are very taken with you right now because emotion rivets us as human beings. So all of these things I brought into the conversation, and then lo and behold, little by little, he came out, and his brother, who was stuttering at first, they became the most expressive, wonderful little actors. And James, as he grew, he became president of his class, and he was playing his violin to, to crowds of 80 and 100 people. All these things that would not have been possible if there had been, and some who are bad teachers. I mean, there's nothing worse than a bad teacher that can embarrass a young child. And then that becomes something that interferes with their self-expression for the rest of their life. And then that has to be worked on. But thankfully, you had a wonderful teacher, as did I. I went to a Catholic school till I was in eighth grade and survived it. And I had wonderful nuns who somehow recognized my ability. And Sister Bertha Marie, she had her own little office, tiny little office in school there. And she actually took me out of all of my classes. And it was before Christmas time. And she gave me this box of pastels and these big pieces of paper. And she asked me to do the whole nativity scene from the time that, Mary was pregnant and she was on the road. And so I did the whole story of the birth of Jesus for Christmas. And she put these big pieces of art all around the room. And oh my God, if only I still had those. But, my mother died when I was young, so I didn't have anyone that, cherished any of the things that I did when I was growing up. And now today, I mean, fortunately, everybody's got a cell phone and everybody's kid is being videotaped and photographed ad infinitum. And, they'll have an entire book to present to their kids when they graduate from high school.
Right.
But the bottom line is the impact that each of us has in any form of self-expression. And the arts include acting. The arts include cooking. The arts include dressmaking, sewing, any form of expression from the soul, which you and I have had that little chat about, is something that is critical, I think, to our own soul's health.
Absolutely.
And I know you agree on that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And now you teach classes. Tell our audience about your website and what you do so that they can take a look at your work and have a reference point for what we've been discussing.
Sure. Thank you for that. Yes. Yes. But just real quick back onto the child. And I think, we all have different experiences throughout our whole life, and good and bad. And sometimes, as in my case, I had a really rough run at a very young age. So that empathy piece for me, and seeing this young little boy in this class, not wanting to do something, etc., was very, I understood it. I understood that he was scared. And that helped me with raising my children. I mean, I just, it all snowballs, and it's amazing how it all unfolds. But I love that when you said that you said you can pass, and that's why I just let them sit you know, just sit and just observe, you know, sit and observe. And so, it's anyway, that was just, that's, and thank you for sharing that with me and how you handle that in your classes. So my intuitive art, yes. And so this is where I'm now become what I feel is important to my soul, to other people's souls, if they wish to partake. I teach intuitive art classes, and I like to say teach, actually, I guide, because it's coming from them. They're teaching themselves.
Oh, well said.
Yes. it's, you know, intuitive art is, it's very playful. It's allowing yourself to go for it. It's like I did with those lemons. You're, you know, the energy can be stuck, whether it be, you know, an illness or stress or anything that we're going through in our lives. And, you know, we rely so much on technology and what everybody else is doing around us that our souls have somehow kind of been watered down, I guess I would say, because we're so, everything is so out there. And intuitive art is about bringing everything back in and trusting what's happening inside of your own body and your instinct and allowing. And like you said, no judgment. There's absolutely, you know, there's no right or wrong. And it's like we said before, we can tap in like you do and I do. We tap into this creative space whenever we need it. And so I really, like I said, I bring everything to the table for everyone. And I, whatever it is, I do individual classes. I only do up to six, because if we get too many people, it gets a little, it loses its impact. And I don't like to have that happen. So I keep it at six or less. And as my art brochure says, I can go to the mountain to teach. I can go to the beach. We can go to your back patio. You know, we can go anywhere to have this beautiful experience of intuitive art. And I always tell the participants that if you're fearful, it's a good sign. It means that it's time to rejuvenate. It's time. It means that it's a good thing that we're doing this. And it's just a beautiful practice. And so my art, my website, they can find me. There's more information about my intuitive art classes. I also love to write. That's another way I love to express myself. So I write a blog, and they can get to know a little bit more about me and who's coming with them to assist with their intuitive art. And like I said, it's men and women and children and of all ages. And I've had that experience with all the different ages, and I love it. And I have no favorite. I have no favorite. It's all beautiful to me. So, but my art website, I don't know if you want my art website, or that will be, if you'd like me to give that to the people.
Yes.
Okay. So it's janadavisart.com. And very simple. And there might have some art there as well. They can see paintings. I just actually was visiting a home, and I love going back to visit my art and the owners, of course, that have that own the art. And it's just so fun to go back and see. And it brings me great joy to know they're appreciating and loving the art as well. So that's how they can find me. It's best way is to email me if they have any questions. And I've done women's gatherings before, women's little book clubs. They want, you know, something new and fun to do as an activity. So I've done, like I said, the retreats and the one-on-ones too. I've worked with some of the younger students with one-on-ones, and they in their parents' home, of course, and it's just lovely. And they, you know, the parents I had one parent that said, well, what are they going to create? And I had to have the same little conversation. It all depends on what comes out of them, and whatever it is, it's a beautiful thing. So.
Well, that's wonderful. As you're speaking, there things came to mind. I know there are a number of women's groups here in the Verde Valley, and I'm going to see to it that some of them specifically listen to this podcast and find their way to you and have the wonderful experience of being able to be guided by you into their own soul's expression.
I love that.
I think that's such a good way to to language it, and I know that this is this is all true. So your work is definitely a demonstration of exactly what you've been speaking all day, on this mm-hmm. podcast. So it's good. Very good. Yeah. And now, what advice would you give to people? I know you have been kind of doing that anyway, but what would you have to share with people who feel, there's a lot of people who feel isolated or stuck or depressed in, in these times that are getting stranger as we step each day.
Mm-hmm. Advice for coming out of that.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes.
Because,
well,
you've had that journey. You've had to pull your own self. I mean, I think that was pretty courageous as a child and very powerful as a child, that you would have found your own medical help mm-hmm. that you could not find from the conventional medical community, which I think all of us on Progressive Radio Network know that's not exactly the best way to get yourself healed.
Right. Well, and I have
it's
to say,
a system.
Yes. I do believe that there is space for both Western medicine and natural medicine. And I believe, though, that our bodies are amazing to begin with. I mean, the healing properties that our bodies have, just needs to get tapped into the right direction for that natural
Absolutely.
Healing. Yes. And so, I was very fortunate at a young age, and who knows how I even knew that that was the route I needed to go. I guess it was just because I was told that I couldn't and I won't. And I said, well, yes, I will. I don't know if that was the Capricorn or what it was, but so I feel that that's, that piece of that strength is, when you said, how do we help people that are having a struggle coming out of this hard time that we've been in? Because it has been a very challenging, challenging time. And, I've had to pull myself up by the bootstraps all through my life. This what happened to me as a child did cause depression and sadness. And I was there many times, and I still can easily go there, but I've learned the tools now. I have the tools in my toolbox to assist me to come out of it a lot quicker. And so I would just tell people that to try something new. If maybe your mindset is this is how it's always done, this is how it's going to be, try something new. And that's where this intuitive art thing comes in. And I encourage people all the time with it, because you would be amazed of how many people are really scared to pick up a paintbrush. And I think back to the day of when we were little and we were in, preschool, and we had our big watercolors and our big watercolor brushes and right. And we were just able to just paint on that paper, all over the place. And it was just that self-expression of that preschool little one who just was able to go for it. And yes, and that's what I'm hoping for, that people understand this. That's what intuitive art is. It's just going for it. And I encourage people to take that step and try just one little thing different in your coming weeks or your day. And it helps get them out of that dark mindset place. It's like training your brain, you know, it's training your brain to, our brain's a muscle and we need to train it just like the rest of our body. If we want good biceps, we got to go exercise. We have to train our brain too. So I learned that from another beautiful doctor. I've got two amazing, beautiful doctors that are on my team right now that I just adore. And my other doctor has gone on to be in the heavens, but these two doctors are just, talk about wise. Wow. I'm incredibly blessed.
Wow. Yeah, that's, I think, another very valuable aspect, the training of our mind. And, you know, I know for myself, I have had a preoccupation with the observation and investigation into the patterns that persist in my life that I prefer not to have there. And it's interesting because you know, as you have been down the road for a while, as I have, mm-hmm. and you see the rearing of that ugly head of there's that pattern again, which usually will often at this stage in life come appear in a very insidious way, one that seems like, oh, I'm not really that terrible pattern that's going to hurt you again. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm really not. I'm something a little different. But there it is. Mm-hmm. And to be able to kind of, first of all, recognize that and have that discernment to say, I know what you are. Don't you dare try to pretend you're not that insidious pattern that I really thought I had mastered already. All right, come on. I'll take you on another time. And this time, I'm going to use the opportunity to say no to this pattern that has a self-destructive aspect to it. And, you know, sometimes I think when we're in an emotional state, you said you have tools that you have now put into your toolbox and open up that toolbox when you need to have something to help you in these times that are a challenge. And I think that, you know, that is something that wouldn't be a bad idea to even create the context of, okay, here's your toolbox. Now, let's explore with each of you, what are the tools that you know work when you need to call on those tools when you need them? Open that toolbox, and you should maybe even have people have an actual toolbox.
Mm-hmm. I love you know? That. Yes.
I do too. I think that would be a great way to do a workshop, or at least as one process, because I teach right. as well, as you right. know. Yeah, and to have that toolbox and write out however many tools that you know, write it on a piece of paper and put those pieces of paper into your toolbox. And when you're in the doldrums or when you're being attacked or when that ugly pattern is rearing its ugly head again, open that toolbox up and just look for one of those pieces of paper and randomly pull it out and say, okay, here's what I'm going to do instead.
Love
Wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't that be a good way?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Well, and we know that everybody's different. So something might work for someone and something might work for someone else. And
exactly.
Right. That's the beauty of life. And my friend Jackie, who I mentioned that I went to the writing retreat in Sedona with, she said something so powerful to me the other day. And she said, write these words down, Jana, up until now.
Oh, yes.
I love that so much because, you know, up until now, that was my pattern. Up until now, that was the way I did that. Up until now. But I have the power and the strength and the wisdom to make that change, to turn that corner and say, I'm not going to do that anymore. Or I'm not going to, you know, and so it's the up until now, which gives yourself grace. Because it doesn't beat yourself up for saying, oh, I did this my whole life and I did it this way. And, but it's just.
Yeah. Because if we go back into, it's hopeless and I'll never change, then that becomes your reality.
Right. And that's what you've trained your brain to think in your muscle up
Correct.
There, right?
Yeah.
So now that we can.
And when you're speaking it out into the universe and anybody else hears you, then they take that perception into their consciousness. I've learned that I have to be very careful what I speak into the minds of people around me, because what I speak then becomes truth for them. And then that, you know, the power of the mind and the power of the mind of those around you,
right,
can indeed create your reality.
Absolutely.
You know,
yes.
And I'm coming to a place in my own life where, you know, people that I've known for a long time who persist to see me in their way that I don't feel I am any longer, I think it's really time for me to just say, you know what? You take that perception of who you think I am, you tuck that in your pocket, and you keep it there, because I'm walking away from you.
Mm-hmm. That's very important. That's I go back to, you know, what I've tried to instill in my children, and that kind of goes along the same lines of don't allow anybody to ever dull your sparkle. And
oh, that's good.
Yes.
Don't let anybody dull your sparkle.
Your sparkle.
I'm going to put that on a t-shirt.
Yes, I think that would be fantastic. Let's get on that.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to go through life and not worrying about what anybody else is saying or thinking about you, but we have to, because that's a very important part of our soul and our healing. And as long as we know in our heart and minds what we're doing is right, and it's for us, it's right for us, it's right for others, it's right, and it feels good, that's all that we need to know. We don't need anybody else's acceptance, and not allow anybody to dull our sparkle. And
that's right.
Because you have a lot of sparkle. I have a lot of sparkle, and we can't let anybody dull that.
Yes, ma'am.
So keep that in their pockets. Those thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've just been, you know, coming into that realization, because I have in the past, up until now, you know, I have allowed people that I revere and consider powerful people, and that I know, and I know some wonderful people in my life, and I'm blessed and always have been from the time I was very young to have very influential people in my life. But by the same token, if, you know, their perception of me is not consistent with what I feel I am today, and I allow that to continue,
right,
then shame on me.
Right. That's
I don't,
on you. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, if they want to keep that perception, they're welcome to it, but
right,
that's not who I am anymore.
That's
and that's
right.
not what I'm going to allow people to persist in their thinking towards me, because then I allow an insult to my own soul, and I'm not doing that anymore.
Right. And that affects your health and it stunts
your own
creativity.
Sense of yourself. At
right.
This stage of our life, you know, there just has to come a time when, you know what, I am enough, just the way I am.
Absolutely.
I'm enough.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yes, it's the journey. It's amazing how as we journey in life and our experiences come to us. And I write a lot about this in my blog. I don't write specifics, but I write.
Oh, you have a blog. You need to let people know about your blog and how they can.
Yes. Well, that's on my website. So I can't figure out how to get it so that people can actually, I'm a little technologically challenged. So I can
figure out. I am too.
My kids are very gracious upon me to help me, but I'm trying to figure out how to make that more interactive, but right now it's on my art website, and the writing's another form of my expression and my.
Oh yes. And lovely. Very lovely. You
oh,
write
thank
very
you.
Well.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Yes,
well,
you do.
Thank you.
We can't leave our writing expression out of the arts for sure.
Right. Absolutely. No, it's such a beautiful, and I write with a pencil. I don't type it. I actually write it in cursive.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And and people say, oh, can't you, why don't you get faster? I said, I don't want to go faster. I want to write on my want to write on my pad with my pencil.
Yeah, there's something wonderful about writing with lead, the feel of a pencil. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? I love it. It's just, it's very, the sound of it, and me having to sharpen the pencil in between. I love that. So yes, with my blog, if they go to my art website, there's a little tabs at the top and they can click on my blog and do a little bit of reading there. But I do write a lot about the, you know, going through life, appreciating and being thankful for the struggles and the good times. And that's all part of what makes us us. And we all have a story. We all have a story to share. And what a beautiful unfolding story that always continues to unfold. You know, it's just from day to day, it continues to unfold.
That is, and then, you know, the observation of the occurrences in our life and, you know, being able to, you know, it's always about your attitude, your perspective, and how you manage. It's like, it's not what happens to people, it's how you react to it.
Right.
We heard that a million times. And, you know, those people like yourself that have taken adversity and turned it into advantage, that's, you know, that's what, because otherwise we're all doomed, God knows, you know.
Right. What's the option? The option is not pretty. And yeah, it's... I appreciate that. And as I said before, you know, I've had my moments of, and I've had to release and, but for the most part, I really look at what occurred with me as a child and where it's taking me and where it has taken, continues to take me is such a huge blessing. And I'm very thankful, honestly, for it all. I'm thankful for it all, every moment.
Well, it's a great way to take on the you know, the journey of life in a powerful way. And, you know, and it's easy to make people wrong. There's plenty of reason to do that for sure, especially today. And, you know, to be able to champion a better way to approach the journey that we are all on, like it or not, for as long as we are here. You know, and none of us know when our expiration date is going to be up. That's for sure. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Make every moment of every day a blessing and a beautiful, and to other people. I just wrote a blog about kindness, and that's, you just never know who you're going to touch, just like those little children in your classes or a little boy, you know, you just never know who, you never know the impact you're going to make on somebody.
Right.
So why not make it special every time you have an encounter? And it's very important.
Yeah, and kindness matters.
It does.
It's like, there are some people, it's like, I wish, you know, some powerful people, you know, they don't have to be mean spirited with some of the things that they say, you know, just because they can, or they think it's funny. It's not funny. It's not funny at all, you know. How hard would it be instead to lend a kind comment rather than a jab at someone? Mm-hmm. You see?
Right. And that's coming from them. You know, I look at that as that's their coming from whatever insecurity or whatever they're going through at their time. And I've learned that too in my life, because I can be a very sensitive human, and I've learned that, you know, that's not about me. And it's about them. And so I'm going to continue on with my goodness. And, but sometimes it's hard, you know, we're all human.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Oh,
yes, we are.
Yeah. Literally, it's a beautiful thing to give to somebody, whether it just be a smile, you know, or just a friendly hello. It can be simple as that. And you never know the impact that you made on that person's day. Never know.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, and in my shop, for instance, well, that's how you and I met.
Yes. And I loved when I came in your shop. I instantly felt welcomed and I feel like I was home. You know, I walked in with the conversation was great. And the people, you were all such fantastic. And the people that were coming into the store that were shopping were just having a great time. It was just a very happy place.
It's there's a special energy that is in my shop. And I know that.
Absolutely.
And I often, and I've said that many times, you know, you think you're maybe coming in to look for something to buy, but you're coming in to connect with me and to be, you know, in the space of what it is that we can share with each other. And I, every single day when I'm in my shop, you know, I know that there is the likelihood, not just the possibility, but the likelihood that something wonderful and magical is going to take place because I just opened the door.
Absolutely.
And I, you know, there was another young, lovely woman, very pretty. She too was an artist. And she was so humble and so sweet. And, you know, I'm not able to talk about the weather. If you come into my sphere, I'm going to talk to you for real. Mm-hmm. And we had that conversation. We were there alone. And, you know, I mean, she was so touched. She started to cry. When people get embarrassed because people often cry in my shop and then I want to have a hug and the drill.
Like we did. Yes.
And then I said to her, I said, well, let me see your artwork. She didn't even make any outreach to show me. Well, she showed me what she did, Jenna, and it was beautiful. She was so humble. And, you know, I just maybe that one day of encouragement that happened pushed her into a little larger conversation of her own artwork and who she is and what direction she might go. And that's why people come into my shop. It's not about trinkets to sell and things like this, like some people said. You know, there's a happening that happens in my shop, and I treasure it and I honor that. I'm very grateful that that's what happens in my day.
And I know you are. You know, it goes much deeper. It's so much deeper than the walls. It's you, and you radiate that. I mean, like I said, the minute I walked into your store, I felt it. I felt the energy. I felt the gratitude. It was a wonderful experience. So, but that's because you radiate that.
Thank you so much for that.
Well, as I said on my drive home, I couldn't stop thinking about our discussion that we had in there and the hug that we had left with. And it was, you literally made my day and you inspired me. This is my first podcast, so I was a little nervous. But when you said, would you like to be on, you know, my podcast? I said, oh my gosh, I would be honored to be on your podcast. So thank you for this so very much.
You're so very welcome. And with that, our time is coming to a close. And I could not be more pleased and happy to have this content being brought out into the, you know, into our audience so that they can take something from it that of value for themselves. Because I know that one of my purposes in life is to touch people, to create a moment for them that they'll remember. And I know that with your work, you do the same. So Jenna Davis, you are a contribution to the world, certainly a wonderful guest for Wise Women. I thank you for being on today.
I thank you, Kathleen. Have a beautiful rest of your day.
Thank you. And we do have Rodney Harris coming soon, right up with his wonderful podcast. So stay tuned, everybody. Have a wonderful week. I send my love. I send my blessings. I hope today made a difference in your life. Take good care. It's Kathleen saying bye-bye.